While designing business cards that I'm taking with me to PodFest in Orlando, I was told that they should be more of an invitation than just some contact information. In episode 64 of the I Can't See You podcast, I'll tell you exactly what I came up with.
From Studio C, welcome to the I Can't See You podcast with David. He can't see, but he's got a lot to say and a face for radio.
Hello there, and welcome to the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. I really appreciate you checking out the episode today. And what I'd like to talk about today is my preparation for going away to Orlando and PodFest. Now, PodFest, as I've probably mentioned before, is a conference or convention, whatever you want to call it, just a lot of stuff going on. There's going to be an exhibit hall, and there's going to be different tracks for learning different things, how to build an audience, how to monetize the podcast, how to produce a better podcast, things like that. And I'm really excited to go. And in preparation, they have a Facebook community, so I've been on there and talking about that. And one of the things that a lot of folks in there had mentioned was a business card and having swag and merch that they give to their guests and things like that. Well, I'm sorry to say I don't have merch yet. However, one of the things that I didn't have that I thought, I better get it before PodFest starts, are business cards. And I wanted to do the business cards, so I had something to hand out. And I actually did the business cards myself, and I know what you're saying. I'm blind. I shouldn't be doing that. And I shouldn't have done that. It took me way too long to do it. I then had to wait for somebody to check for spacing. And I had Liz check it. And I had Jane check it. And I even had one of my old graphic design instructors check it to check for spacing and things like that. And of course, Liz checked for spelling and typos and that sort of thing. But when I was doing the card, and I realized how much I missed doing that, and again, you know, my entire life I've been visually impaired. It's just something that I like doing. All the things I like doing are things that require sight, which is sad, and why my mobility instructor years ago told me people who are visual learners and visual thinkers have a much more difficult time. And she told me the story, which I think I've passed on before, but I'll mention it again, of two brothers, both who were going blind. One was an accountant or something, and the other guy was, you know, I don't remember if he was an artist or a photographer or something more visually important. Vision was more important. The guy who was the accountant had no trouble dealing with his losing his sight because he was still able to listen to things and still get what was going on. The visual guy had great difficulty and basically wanted to kill himself, he told her. So, and sadly, I'm in that category. But I made these cards and I put them up on the PodFest group, you know, just asking people, you know, what did they think about them. And I wasn't going to get double-sided cards. But I thought after I got some feedback, and I didn't do the logo on the cards, by the way, the logo with the eyeball and the microphone in the middle, or I'm sorry, with the eye and the microphone in the eyeball, I had created by someone for me. I just don't have that kind of skill anymore to do that, but to move some words around and stuff like that, I can still do that. And, I'll post a picture of the card, in the show notes. So I put it up there and one guy, and I can't remember his name is Ted. He said, it doesn't matter what kind of party you've got going on if the invitation doesn't get people in the door. You could have the greatest party in the world. So he was saying that the card should be almost like an invitation to listen to the podcast. And I thought, oh my God, this is so boring and nobody would go. Nobody would go. And maybe people still won't go with my invitation. So I started thinking of a tagline, and my audience, I've always said from the beginning, I've wanted it to be geared towards sighted people to show them how they can help blind people and how they shouldn't underestimate or feel, oh, that guy's blind, he can't do this, or whatever. That's the whole goal of my show, and as well as to, you know, complain about everything. So when he said that, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. This isn't anything like that. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to go back and I'm going to redo the card. So I basically did one side of the card is black with the white logo, and with the white logo, you know, it says, I Can't See You podcast. And it has my name and it says host/producer. And, you know, then it has some contact information and things like that. And down at the bottom, it says, you know, follow me on social media at David Benj, which, as I say at the beginning and ending of every show, everybody already knows that if you listen. But people who I might meet randomly don't know that. So now it's written out everywhere. And I thought, I'm going to use the back side of the card, or maybe it's the front side, as the invitation, if you will. And so what I did, I originally had at the bottom of the one-sided card, you know, become part of the show or be part of the show, call, you know, 646-926-6350. So I flipped that to the back, and that's where I put the follow me on social media bit on the one side. We'll call it the dark side. The dark side of the card has my contact info, basically. The light side of the card has the logo and I Can't See You podcast in black on a white background. And then down at the bottom, it says, have questions, be part of the show, and then the 646-926-6350 number. And then I thought, I need a tagline, a catchphrase, a something to be the invitation to say, hey, I think I might want to listen to that. And again, all along, my whole thought has been, you know, I want folks who can see to listen so they can see that blind people can do stuff. And you know, I obviously don't do a lot of great things, but I do things. And I'll talk about a couple in a minute. I mean, I'm not climbing Mount Everest or designing million-dollar train stations and all sorts of cool stuff like that. But, you know, as we told someone else in our Keystone chapter, you know, whatever you do the most that you can that you're comfortable with. And sometimes you step out of that comfort zone, but after a while, you are comfortable with it, and then you start to do it, and then you want to do more. Tomorrow I'm going to get on an airplane by myself. Hopefully it'll be to Orlando and not to somewhere else. Hopefully I'll get through TSA line okay tomorrow morning at, you know, around 5 a.m. So we'll see how that goes. But that's what my show is about. So I came up with By the Blind for the Sighted. And I sent it to Liz. She's like, I don't think I like that. And she gave me some other ideas. And she had one that was equally as bad. And then she came up with this gem, Blind People for Dummies. You remember the Dummies books? You probably have some. If you ever do any kind of computer stuff or any kind of needing to know, even gardening, I mean, they branched out so much since, you know, they did the computer books back in the day. So I thought, man, that is great. I loved it. And so then I thought, uh-oh, it's Blind People for Dummies. What if they have that trademarked? What if I can't use it? So I started looking around. I looked around for trademarks. And while they've trademarked a lot of For Dummies things, Blind People is not one of them. So I now have Blind People for Dummies. In fact, I bought the domain for it, blindpeoplefordummies.com. And that's now the tagline for the website, and that's what's on the front of my card, or the back of my card, on the light side of my card. On the dark side is my contact information, and on the light side is that, and the phone number, which I previously mentioned. And so I hope that, first of all, I hope it's not offensive, which I don't think it is, but if it is, you know, so be it. You know, again, whatever gets someone to listen to the show, you know, maybe they'll see that and be turned off by it. I don't know, but I'm going to hand out cards. I'm taking 498 of them down to, Podfest in Orlando, tomorrow. And I will start handing them out. And I'm really excited for it because, we've had a couple of, besides doing the Facebook stuff, the Facebook group, one guy, his name is David Bennett, who happens to be from Warren, Pennsylvania, where White Cane Coffee is from, set up these Zoom calls. And there was probably, I don't know, 15 to 25 people on each one, and they were awesome. In one of them, Chris and Katie were in it answering questions. Also, someone named Kim, who works at the event, she was on both of them answering questions. And then we were also able to talk amongst ourselves as far as what our shows are about and where we're from and, you know, just chit chat about just about anything. And they were awesome. And he did a great job for setting that up. And I'm looking forward to meeting him and a few of the others that were on the that were there on the calls. And I have to tell you, there was a guy on, and I can't remember his name, but I hope I get to meet him. And he's this guy, he almost looked like he was in the witness protection program from what I could see on the video. He had a baseball cap on, and I don't know if it was the lighting. I mean, maybe it was just me, but he started talking. He was talking about being a sound engineer, and he's a veteran. His show was about veterans and for veterans, or maybe for anyone. I don't quite remember. But he's talking and he's like, yeah, when I worked at NASA, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I don't know that I've ever met anybody that worked for NASA. So I'll be looking for him. And hopefully somebody else on the call remembers his name, and I can just get to meet him, because I just want to say hi. And I just think that is awesome. So David did all this legwork, and it was awesome that he did that, because it was very, very useful and helpful. So he also commented on my card. But Ted, you know, with that idea, and again, maybe it's offensive to somebody, I don't take offense. As I always tell people, you know, when they say, does that offend you? I said, nothing's more offensive than not seeing. So I'm looking forward to seeing what people say when I hand them the card. I'll let you know next week, I guess. So I am recording this a little bit early. It's Tuesday afternoon for a Thursday published date. And as I mentioned, I like to get out and about, and I've done a few things, some fun, some okay, and some things that I had to do. My friend Chris Dougherty from Dougherty & Company Insurance in Media, Pennsylvania. If you're in Pennsylvania, give him a call, because he can help you out with insurance. And he's been our broker for, I can't tell you how many years, probably since I was around 20 and had the video store, and maybe longer with my parents. I'm not anywhere near 20 now, by the way, in case you were wondering. So he had gotten a pair of Flyers tickets for Liz and I to go. And so we went down, and last week on Friday night, we went down to see the Flyers play the Rangers. And we got there a little bit late. I guess we walked in. We finally got into the seating area around 5 minutes into the game, maybe a little more into the game. You know, once we got in, there was a group filling bags for troops who were stationed overseas. And, you know, you could put Rice Krispie treats in and Slim Jims and all sorts of things. And that was very cool. So we each did a bag. So, and then you could write a note. And I, you know, the note that I wrote, which of course Liz wrote, I put the @DavidBenj on it. So I'm kind of hoping that whoever gets it, that soldier or sailor, will reach out and just connect. I think that would be very cool. So we did that. And then we walked around a little bit. I guess actually we ate before too, and we ate at the Wells Fargo Center. They have a single slice of pizza. Now the pizza was probably about $10. It was a slice shaped like a slice of pizza, but it was like the slice of pizza that Fred Flintstone would have, because it was bigger than my head. And if my head were triangular, it would be, you know, that, you know, it's still much bigger. I mean, it was just huge. So we had that, and then we went down to the seats. And by the time we got there, at some point, either when we were ordering the pizza, the Rangers scored. So 1-0 Rangers, and we walked down into the seating area. And we're not down there too long, and then the Flyers scored, tied it up. And we were down the end of the ice that the Flyers shoot twice at. If anybody's familiar with the Wells Fargo Center, it was Section 106, and I think we were in Row 13. And which were, if I could see, would have been a great seat. Not seeing wasn't good. But you know, I don't know that any of them would be good. And it brought us back to when Liz and I used to go quite often before we had kids. And even when Liz was pregnant with Jacob, and Jacob's 26, by the way, so it was a while ago. You know, we would go down to a lot of games. We would go to Ovations during the first intermission. And we did that because we were down the end the Flyers shot twice at. So in the second period, they were down the other end. And, you know, what little vision I had then, I couldn't see anything pretty much down the other end even then. So, you know, if we missed a couple of minutes of play, you know, because we were downstairs eating dinner, that was okay. I didn't want to miss, you know, where they shot twice at, you know, so we wouldn't go during the second break. But the one big thing that I noticed being down the end, you know, you're behind the tall glass and we were in row 13. So I don't know how high up the glass went, but it was high enough that like in our old seats, we were right in front of the face-off dot inside the zone, like, you know, the big dot, not the one by the blue line, the one further in. So when people are tapping their sticks for the pass, or if they're, you know, you could hear the puck bouncing all around, you could hear them, you could hear a lot of things going on. You could hear them talking, you know, and shouting for things, you know, watch this or do that or whatever. Where we were, because of the glass, the only time we could really hear stuff, other than maybe when the puck hit the post, was when the puck hit the glass, or guys got checked into the boards. But down the other end, you could hear everything because it was, you know, far away. So the glass wasn't blocking the sound waves. So the Flyers ended up winning. And we left a few minutes early after they scored their fifth goal. They were up 5-1. So Liz and I said, you know what, let's get going. We had some other things going on over the weekend, so we wanted to get going. And as we were going to the car at some point, I guess the Rangers scored. So we missed both Ranger goals, but we saw the Flyers goals, which was great. And again, when I say, you know, Liz saw the Flyers goals, and she actually did a pretty good job doing some play-by-play off and on, which was kind of funny. She even called them sweaters when she said, when I asked who was wearing what colors. But that's, you know, that was one thing that I asked her. I asked her that because everybody looked the same to me. You know, I just saw blobs out on the ice. And part of that has to do with, as I've mentioned before, the glare, the reflection of the ice. And that's why I don't watch on TV anymore, because I just, you know, I just can't see it. And, you know, I like to hear the stories, but if I can't see what's going on, you know, I'm not interested in watching. And in fact, you know, I started watching a TV show called War of the Worlds, which as a kid, you know, was my favorite. I loved all the different shows and movies they had. If you remember, there was one on ABC or CBS where it showed, it was like the behind the scenes, and it was a movie of like the panic of everything and how they did the radio promotion. And of course, the thing that stuck in my head was the one of the sound engineers, when they said, okay, we need the sound of a spaceship opening up. He said, please don't make me go into the men's room or something like that. And the next thing you see is this guy hunched over a toilet with a jar slowly opening the lid, with the echo of the toilet making it sound like it's this, you know, this alien spacecraft. And so I've always loved that. So there's this new show. It's on Epix if you have it. If you can't see or speak French, you're probably going to just want to look at something else, because half the show is in French, which I get because it's a Studio Canal production, which is okay. I mean, if I knew French, it'd be great. But that's not the only problem. There are also big sections of the show where there's no dialogue. You know, it's somebody just walking around or driving in a car. I had no idea what was going on in so many spots. And then again, because I don't speak French, I, you know, when the French folks were on speaking, you know, I didn't know what they were talking about either. Other than, the handful or dozen or so words in French that I know. A lot of things happen maintenant, which means now, in case you didn't know. You know, I was just, you know, I checked to see if there was descriptive services. There wasn't. So whether I continue to watch or not, I don't know. But, you know, and the Flyers were like that. You know, I liked being down there. I liked feeling the energy. And let me tell you, there was no rest. It used to be when the Flyers were done, the period ended, they'd have a little something going on, maybe mites on ice, maybe a little game or something. or some other thing, some other promotion or some group or whatever. And then the lights would fade down and you'd have 5 to 7 minutes of just the guy on the Zambonis driving around doing the ice. It was quiet. It wasn't, you know, it was a, you could take a breath. Well, I don't know what happened between then and now. And again, I haven't had season tickets since 2003, so it wasn't yesterday either. But there wasn't a second of rest. And again, I don't see much, but I saw all sorts of flashing going on. And I had to ask Liz at one point during the break. I said to her, I said, what's going on out there? Because I saw flashes and I didn't know. I didn't know what was happening. I was hoping it wasn't my retina detaching again, and thank God it wasn't. But there was, the music never really subsided after the Mites on Ice, which are the little peewee guys skating around playing. And it turns out that Liz had found out earlier in the day that one of her students was going to be out there on the ice. So that was very cool. But in between that, once the Zambonis got done, and while they were even driving, you know, so there's all sorts of light stuff going on. And I don't know if it was logos. And I think some of it, if I remember, she said there were logos. But even the boards, even the lights in the, there are lights now in the stanchions, the, between the pieces of glass or that hold the glass in place. So there's all sorts of lighting going on. And it's just, I said to her, it reminded me of going to Portugal the Man, if you've heard of that band. They start their show and it is like, they've got their foot on the accelerator the whole show. By the time their set is done, you're exhausted because it is just boom, boom, boom. They barely talk and they just keep cranking out the music, which, you know, is good if you like their music. But it just, just gets exhausting because they don't take a breath. And I was telling my friend Mark, who once we had Jacob, Mark used to go to a lot of the games with me and I would go to like 30 games a year. If they made the playoffs, obviously it would be more if they made a deep run into the playoffs. I think one year I went to 45 games total. But you know, there's just not a second to take a breath. And, you know, and it was, you know, a little bit on the exhausting side and, you know, maybe it's because, maybe it's because I'm older now. I don't know. So we did that. And I often wondered as I walked into the men's room, you know, I didn't, you know, were people looking at me, look, what's this guy doing here with the cane? He can't see. Why is he here? And don't worry. I asked myself that question too, because, you know, I did have difficulty seeing what was going on. And as I said, you know, it was tough. It certainly wasn't as enjoyable as it once was for me, even though, I never saw the puck really. Even back at my best, I never could see the puck, but you know, I could follow the action a little more. And part of that was because I could listen, you know, when we were on the side, when the glass was a little bit lower or where the glass is a little bit lower, you know, and you know, it's just different now. And then we got to do, so that was our first game, my first game in about 13 years, Liz's first game in 17 years. On Sunday, a couple days later, we were given tickets to the Philadelphia Flower Show. Now, it's something that I used to really want to go to back in the day, but I've never been, and Liz has never been. So we went down on Sunday morning before, we were hoping before it got too packed. And we got down there, and it was, sections of it were pretty busy, but we really didn't know what to expect. I thought it was going to be more stuff on display, more you know, gardens and things like this. I didn't realize there was so much stuff that you could buy, and both for your garden and some other things. There was also a folks that run dispensaries, which I thought was cool. I actually talked to them as my role as the president here at the Briarcliff Condominiums. You know, obviously you can walk down the hall sometimes and you smell weed. And so I had asked before, I had called and talked to somebody at the one that's close by the condos. And I talked to this guy and I didn't get his name, but I asked him about, you know, what's the rules with, you know, when you have a license to have medical marijuana. And just like the guy on the phone told me, you really can't light it. You vape it, you use steam to get the flower to make whatever you need happen. And so when you smell it in the hallways here, you know, they're clearly burning it. And, you know, like the guy told us at the flower show, you know, once it's in their hands, you know, obviously they could do whatever they want with it. might not be legal, but they can still do it. So we talked to that guy. We took some pictures, some selfies, and actually, I think I took all the pictures. So there are blind selfies of Liz and I. I think I put one on Instagram. Oh, yeah, trying to win something. I guess we didn't win. So we did that. And again, I was kind of disappointed. I don't think Liz wanted to be there at all. I'm not 100%. I don't think she hated it, but I don't think she loved it either. But it was nice to walk around. It gave us something to do on Sunday. And I do appreciate those tickets that were given to us by Trish from Philly Touch Tours. She got them from someone. And I was glad to finally get down there and see what the whole thing was about. And it was nice to do that. It kind of made me wish that we had space to do gardening here, which we don't. But it was just another thing that now at that, the cane... It was like the cane was invisible there. People didn't care. People didn't get out of my way. I'm sure when, my cane got tangled up in their feet, they probably gave me dirty looks. And again, I'm not too concerned about that. I try not to because, I'm afraid I'll trip someone and I certainly don't want to do that. But again, I'm sure people are looking at me. What am I doing walking around this thing, with these beautiful flowers or these other displays? And again, I don't care, but I just wonder what other folks think, which then makes me think of the next day, yesterday, Tuesday, Monday, I had a doctor's appointment, an eye doctor appointment with Dr. Pro in media. And, Liz was working. It was one of her long days. So I figured I'll do it on my own. I'm not going to use Uber. Even though media is very close, it's still probably a $10 ride. And to go to media, it just doesn't seem worth it to me. Not when I could get on a bus and a trolley and get there for $2.50. So I did that. And I prayed that, sorry, I don't pray. I hope that, I was hoping that the bus would get to me on time so I could get to the trolley on time. Because as I mentioned last week, the SEPTA Route 109 that was the 10th time I took it. I've had 3 issues with it. So not a great batting average. Well, it is a great batting average, but they weren't doing it in a good way, not for a good reason. So I take the bus to the mall. I get off at Springfield Mall. I then have to walk from one side of the mall parking lot to the other. So it's easiest to cut through the mall, through Target, where Jacob works. He wasn't working yesterday though. And then cut through the back parking lot to go down to pick up the trolley down behind the mall. And as I'm walking out of the doors at Target and I'm walking through the parking lot, I was kind of weaving from lane to lane. And I thought, if anybody's watching me, I wonder if they think that I'm looking for my car. And then I started thinking, how funny would that be to, walk around the parking lot, tapping around with my cane. And if somebody came up to ask me, oh, do you need some help? And I say, yeah, I can't find my car. And just to wonder what kind of expression or reaction I would get, I'd obviously have to do that with when I was wearing the video glasses or some other video device. So to capture to capture that, I just think it would be funny. But it was a fairly easy trip, it takes 40 minutes probably by the bus and train or bus and trolley, as opposed to 15 minutes if you're driving on your own. So that part always kind of bothers me. But again, I could do it on my own. Some people have said, oh, you take the bus. And I say, yeah, if I want to go places, I have to. So, I did. And I was glad that I could do it. And I did it for, $2.50 each way. So $5, I got 2 media and back, and had my eye appointment, and I don't have to go again for 6 months. That was my glaucoma appointment. So I actually have as I've mentioned before, I have a bunch of specialists that I see, and I have a cornea appointment later this month and a retina appointment, I think in April or May. And I joked with the doctor who I see, Dr. Pro. I said to him, he said, oh, I see you have an appointment with Dr. Ayers, who's my cornea guy, and did the transplant and the cataract surgery, did those surgeries, and maybe one more. He said, I see you have an appointment with Dr. Ayers, in March. I said, yeah, I do. And I said, Dr. Garg in April or May. And he said, oh, I don't see that on here. I said, well, I hope I have it made now, because after he was on TV last week, who knows if I can get an appointment with him. So he's so famous. And he evidently didn't see the clip on Action News, which is from the ABC affiliate here in Philadelphia. And it wasn't the first time he was on, too. It was he had been on during one of the Eclipse events of a year or two ago. So he's a good one to have on, because he's although he's pretty subdued when he's on TV, not as himself as he is when like when he told me I needed the surgery for the detached retina right before I was flying to London a couple of years ago. So again, you know, bringing it all back, I like to do the stuff on my own because it shows other folks, hey, I can do it. You know, when I was waiting for the bus, I was having some difficulty with my phone. My friend Alex had left me a voicemail, and every time I went to listen to the voicemail, a text would come in. So the text would be talking while I'm trying to listen to the voicemail, so I couldn't hear it. So I got frustrated, and I tapped my cane hard on the ground. You know, and this girl who was sitting on the curb said, you know, you okay? And I said, yeah. I said, doesn't look like it, she said. And then I told her the story, and she laughed, and she thought it was kind of funny, because it was funny, because it was just a, you know, it was a simple voicemail with him saying, you know, hi, it's Alex. It's today's date and time, and give me a call back when you have a second. And that's all it was. And, you know, but I'd hear, hey, it's Alex, and then a text would come in. Or one time my ear touched the screen, so I knew how much battery life I had. But meanwhile, I missed, you know, his message. You know, it shows folks that I'm out and about and that I can do it, and other blind people can do it. And I did get on the right bus. She asked me, she said, do you ever get on the wrong bus? I said, I haven't yet, but I know it's going to happen, whether it's a bus or a train, you know. And then I mentioned that I'm going, on a plane to Orlando. I said, I hope I don't get on the wrong plane, 'cause that's a bigger mistake. So getting on the wrong train is my biggest fear, because, you know, that has the most, would be the most time consuming getting back to the right station, unless I realize it once I'm on the train. And it's in Philadelphia, in Center City, there are three Center City stops. And I usually get on one of the ones that I could go a stop or two and still get off and get on the right train. So I usually don't worry too much about it. We'll see how I make out tomorrow at the airport, and let's hope I get on the right plane. So the new tagline, remember, is Blind People for Dummies. I'm not calling you a dummy because you're listening. If you're sighted and you're listening, I really appreciate it. And that's what I hope to show, that, look, we can do stuff. Whether it's something just going to an eye appointment on our own, or going to Orlando, or, you know, doing something even greater. Maybe one day I'll do something greater, but so far it's good enough for me, what I've done. And I just hope that folks understand that, you know, we can do things, sometimes with help, and a lot of people are always interested in helping, but, you know, again, there's ways to helping the right way and ways to not helping. You don't just grab somebody and say, hey, come with me this way, or, you know, grab your cane and treat you like a Mylar balloon. And that's what, you know, the whole podcast, like I said, when I started, when I was at Podcast Movement a couple years ago, when it was in Philadelphia, that's the people I was talking to. I said, look, I haven't started yet, but this is what it's going to be on. And until Liz said that, you know, it really, now I love it. I love that Blind People for Dummies tagline, because it's quick. And then I can elaborate on that, you know, hey, what's your podcast on? Instead of going into the elaborate description, I could say, oh, it's Blind People for Dummies. And so we'll see how it flies when I'm in Orlando. So if you are listening and you're going to be at PodFest in Orlando in a couple days, or, well, since it's come, this episode's coming out on Thursday, I hope I get to meet you. Come over and say hi. Remember, I'm not going to see you, so you got to come see me. And you know, there's two blind people going, me and Max, the blind blogger, and you can check him out. He's actually going to be rooming with me. He's theblindblogger.net, so you can check him out too. I hope to learn a lot from him, because he does some public speaking, and I'm really looking forward, like I said, I'm looking forward to going and learning a lot, and hopefully see some cool equipment. So Liz is hoping I don't buy too much, and I think she'll enjoy her she'll enjoy her time without me being around underfoot, and we'll see how it goes. But that is it for this episode of the I Can't See You podcast. Again, I really appreciate you checking out the show, and if you'd rate give us a nice review. That would be awesome. If you want to be part of the show, as I mentioned earlier, 646-926-6350. Whether you have questions or comments, please reach out and leave a message there and become part of the show. And I will talk to you after I am back from Orlando. Thanks again for listening today.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast. Follow David on Twitter. He is at David Bench.